one of the problems is when you look at the territory of a or the terrain of a healthcare profession like chiropractic, we know very little, just fundamentally basic questions. We know very little about the answer to those questions. And they would be things like, what's the profile of chiropractors that practice? How many of them practice in the bush as opposed to in the city? What type of patients do they tend to treat? What type of interventions, adjustments, and treatments do they tend to perform? A lot of this information, very basic workforce information, was missing. What we have created here through setting up this network is a database of nearly 1,700 chiropractors across Australia. So that's about 36% of the whole profession is participating and identified on the database. Now, why is that important? That means you have a national sample of chiropractors that you can then recruit for other studies, which are nationally representative of the wider profession in age, on gender, and on geographical location.
For people, and there are people who criticize chiropractors as under the alternative health umbrella and maybe not as credible as other fields of medicine, can you convince them that the research that's coming from them or the information that's coming from them in a survey style collection of information is reliable?
Yeah, well, let me just put it this way. It's no different to do a PBRN in this case, this design on chiropractic. It's no less or more credible than to do that PBRN on any other health professional. Where they sit in the healthcare system is neither here nor there. What's important is the fact that, are these people prevalent and do they treat a lot of patients in the community? Well, we know that chiropractors treat quite a lot of patients over a 12-month period. We know that they are a very popular style of treatment with the Australian general public. If you are in mainstream care and you ignore or say we shouldn't do research on chiropractic, we should shut all this conversation down, you're hardly giving good promotion and good intelligence to the people that need that information to make good, effective, safe decisions about people's broader healthcare treatments.
So at the beginning of the year, there was that controversy, I don't know if you remember, about the baby and the chiropractor cracking his back. And one of the responses came from the chiropractic board in Australia saying there should be stricter regulations. Could this type of research help in understanding how people go to use chiropractic and then inform regulation?
Yes. I mean, what this research will do for the first time is provide credible statistical insights into what is happening in chiropractic across Australia. And our aim is not just to inform other people interested in chiropractic, it's to inform other stakeholders, including government and legislators and planners and promoters. Anyone who's a stakeholder in health services and health use has an interest in the ACORN project. Now, what we aren't doing with the ACORN project is saying, here's a golden bullet that will tell you whether chiropractic treatment X either works or doesn't work for patient with condition B. What we will be doing is providing some of that baseline, as I said, descriptive data, so people, when they at least talk about chiropractic, are talking about it in a sensitive and sensible way. One of the problems, and not just with chiropractic, but with all of these non-conventional healthcare areas, is that they're highly emotive. And unfortunately, even the academic debate becomes highly emotive. People forget the science of what they're supposed to be talking about, and they become obsessed with either opposing or supporting these medicines. Now, what our centre and what the ACORN project does is takes what I think is a far more useful and beneficial approach, which is a middle road. It says, look, let's not be emotive about this. Let's treat this like any other public health or health services research topic. That is the role of ACORN. ACORN doesn't take a political position. It's not for or against a particular way of providing healthcare. What it is for is finally describing what really happens in real life care, so people can then make further investigation.
You're still putting your data together for this project, but do you know what will come out of it or what should happen next?
Yes. So there are a whole train of papers that are currently either published or in process or submitted. By the close of 2016, early 2017, there should be at least 8, 9, possibly even 10 manuscripts written off the ACORN baseline data. The next stage is that a whole host of people around the world, including across Australia, have shown not only interest, but have submitted expressions of interest to the ACORN project. to utilize and recruit from this data set. So I'll give you a little example. We have someone at the moment who's very interested in doing a study. It's been approved, and they are recruiting chiropractors from the ACORN database to ask them more rich, detailed questions about how they treat and diagnose headaches, for example. Patients that present with headaches, what do chiropractors do in practice around that topic? It's very surprising, but we practically know nothing. But we know from our ACORN preliminary data that headache patients are well represented in the patients of chiropractors. So you can see that this is not just a topic of interest and benefit to chiropractors and their patients. It's also of interest to everyone else in multidisciplinary teams who may be treating people with headaches. So our not only hope, but our design is that ACORN will stay around for at least the foreseeable future, maybe another 5-10 years even. As long as we maintain the database of practitioners and keep it relevant, then you can keep recruiting from what is a very useful study group. The other thing to say is that you don't have to just ask questions of practitioners, of chiropractors. You can obviously get chiropractors, and this is the beauty of a PBRN, you can get chiropractors to then recruit and follow patients through time in real-life practice. What are the benefits for these patients of receiving a particular form of treatment over time on a particular condition? So there's quite a lot of different style of research. You can do qualitative research and find out through focus groups and interviews and things like that. You can ask other types of research questions of both practitioners and patients. So the thing to really stress here is this is not a finite project that started, will finish within just 2 or 3 years. You publish all the results and then you move on and everyone thinks about another topic. This is about creating some sustainability, some growth, and a change in research culture and critical mass in chiropractic. And not just in Australia, but as I mentioned, we have people from overseas who are very senior, well-known methodologists around health research who have shown an interest in equally collaborating and asking other research questions using this data set.